The following program is being shortwaved overseas by the Armed Forces Radio Service.
C-O-L-G-A-T-E, Colgate presents Bill Stern.
With a Colgate Sports Newsreel.
Bill Stern, the Colgate-shaped man, is on the air. Bill Stern, the Colgate-shaped man, with stories rare. Take his advice and you'll look keen. You'll get a shave that's smooth and clean. You'll be a Colgate brushless fan.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. This is Bill Stern bringing you the 283rd edition of the Colgate Sports Newsreel. We're just back from a transcontinental tour of the Army camps. And our guest tonight is the famous Hollywood movie star, Miss Lena Horne. But first, real one. Profile of a Memory. Our mind wanders back 14 years. 14 years ago tomorrow night, to March the 31st, 1931, when a burning airship tumbled from the skies into a deserted pasture in Kansas. And soon, telegraph wires carried the tragic news that one of the passengers killed was the great Newt Rockne. 14 years is a long time to remember things in the world of sport. So let me remind you, whose memory runs short, that Newt Rockne was the heart and soul of Notre Dame's victory song.
Cheer for old Notre Dame. Wake up the echoes cheering her name.
When Rockne was the coach of Notre Dame, he molded gridiron teams so mighty they grew into a myth. Who will ever forget his masterpiece, the invincible team of the famous Four Horsemen? It was a team that roamed all over the country, cold, heat, snow, or sleet. It didn't matter. For the boys were playing Rockne football, and Rockne football was winning football. Notre Dame sang that victory song, but Rockne made it come true. And this is the story of the spirit of Notre Dame. In 1928, Notre Dame had its poorest season. Ugly whispers were going the rounds that the great Newt Rockne was through. He was all washed up. And so, in 1929, with his reputation at stake, Rockne started a comeback. All season, he was a sick man. But when his team came to Pittsburgh late in that season to play the mighty, undefeated Carnegie Tech team, Notre Dame, too, had not yet lost a single game. Sick and worn as he was, Rockne came to Pittsburgh in a wheelchair. And minutes before that game, he ordered that he be wheeled into the Notre Dame dressing room in that wheelchair. Angrily, the doctor said to him, "Mr. Rockne, I'm not a pessimist, but intense excitement might break that blood clot in your right leg. And if it does, if that clot goes to your heart, it'll kill you. It's an even chance that you'll never leave that dressing room alive." But Rockne brushed his doctor's advice aside. The players sat before him on benches as they wheeled Rockne in. Suddenly, Newt Rockne began to speak. "Boys, you know what this game means to me. Last year, Carnegie Tech beat us." Rockne's face was distorted with pain and emotion. His eyes swept the players as he shouted, "This year, go out there and crack 'em down. I tell you, a team that won't be licked can't be licked." The players leaped to their feet. They rushed for the door, and Newt Rockne, body limp, eyes closed, fell back on the table, cold sweat on his face. It was Rockne's last wish, for Notre Dame never lost another football game as long as Newt Rockne lived. They say that brave generals die in bed, but old Newt Rockne died a braver death, and out at Notre Dame they can still hear him shout, "Come on, boys!" And across white chalk lines come galloping the ghosts of football immortals. That's why tonight our mind wanders back 14 years, 14 years ago tomorrow night. Back to March the 31st, 1931. Back to the Flint Hills of Kansas. Back to that day when a flaming airship fell from the skies. For that was the finish of the story of the man who made Notre Dame, Newt Rockne.
Onward to victory!
Profile of a Memory. Reel two. Hank Burrowe's a great pitcher for the New York Yankees. He has plenty on the ball. And Hank Burrowe takes nothing for granted. He had to try out the shave cream of champions for a week before he'd admit that I was right. And then he wrote me.
"Frankly, Bill, I expected my whiskers to be pulled out by the roots if I followed your advice about no brushing, rubbing, or soaking. So it was a real surprise when I shaved clean as a new baseball bat with Colgate brushless and without a bit of irritation to my tender skin. Signed, Hank Burrowe."
Now, men, why not borrow an example from Burrowe and try Colgate Brushless Shave Cream? If you, too, have tough whiskers and tender skin, then you're going to love Colgate Brushless because it pampers your tender skin while your razor shaves your wire whiskers close and clean without a snag or a pull and with no after irritation. Note how this rich, fluffy cream stays moist and active clear through your shave. And when you're finished, see how fast you'll rinse it off your face and your razor. Nothing gummy or gooey or greasy about it. If Colgate Brushless Shave Cream doesn't perform what I promise that it will, just send the top of the carton to me, Bill Stern, care of Colgate, Jersey City, Zone 2, New Jersey, and I'll see that you get double your money back. So ask for Colgate Brushless Shave Cream and get it tonight in the big 9-ounce economy jar. It's a swell buy. Reel 3. Colgate's camera close-up of Lena Horne. Here is one of the great singing stars of our generation. You've all seen Lena Horne starring in such pictures as Stormy Weather and Two Girls and a Sailor. Now she's currently starring at the Capitol Theater on Broadway in New York City. Here she is in person, MGM's great screen star, Miss Lena Horne.
Thank you, Bill, and good evening.
Good evening, Lena. Before we get over to sports, what's your next picture?
It's titled The Ziegfeld Follies, and it should be swell, for working with me in the Follies are Fred Astaire, Judy Garland, Red Skelton, Gene Kelly, Esther Williams.
Don't go any further. Wait just a minute. Now, don't skip over Esther Williams. Not so fast. You know, Esther Williams is a real swimming champion.
Yes, Bill, I know it. But for that matter, almost every member of the cast is an ardent athlete.
What do you mean, Lena?
Well, Fred Astaire tried to be a professional baseball player. Judy Garland plays beautiful tennis. Red Skelton played semi-pro basketball, and Gene Kelly used to box with Billy Sues, the middleweight champion of the world.
Well, now, how's about you, Lena, in sports?
The only sport I ever played seriously was basketball. I used to play that at girls' high school in Brooklyn. But if I may, Bill, I'd very much like to pay a tribute to the finest athlete I ever saw.
And who would that be, Lena?
His name was Freddie Freely. He was a professional athlete until war came, when he became a pilot flying in our Air Corps.
What happened to him?
One day, when the bomb bay doors on his plane stuck and wouldn't open to release his bombs, he lay on top of those bombs. And with the added weight of his own body, he forced them down and out of his plane. He fell to his death with his bombs.
May I say, Lena, that the sports world joins you in your tribute to this former athlete? Thank you so much. Good luck and good night, Lena Horne.
Good night, Bill.
Good night, Lena. Reel 4, Portrait of Easter.
In your Easter bonnet, with all the frills upon it, you'll be the grandest lady in the Easter parade.
Last year at Easter time, we told a story, an Easter story. We were literally besieged with requests to repeat it when Easter came again. Now, once again, it is Easter time. So let's stop the music and begin the story. Back in 1920, there was a prize fighter named Johnny Nolan. He was a good fighter, too, but Johnny wasn't thinking much of fighting back in those days because Johnny was very much in love with a beautiful girl. Johnny'd met this girl the year before on Easter Sunday. They'd gone together all year long, and they were married the following April on Easter Sunday. From that Easter on, each succeeding Easter was a day of memory for these two. For after all, hadn't they first met on an Easter Sunday, and what's more, hadn't they been married on Easter? So each Easter, as the years went slipping by, Johnny and his wife would proudly walk up Fifth Avenue in the Easter parade. As I said before, Johnny was a prize fighter, and a good one, too. He was fighting such champions as Benny Leonard and Mickey Walker. But one day, Johnny began to notice that somehow he couldn't see quite so well. The doctors told Johnny he was losing his eyesight. Johnny should have stopped fighting right then, but he didn't. He kept on fighting until one day he couldn't fight anymore because Johnny had gone blind. With his blindness came poverty, but Johnny's wife stuck by him. Now Johnny had only one thing left to look forward to. Each Easter Sunday, no matter how poor they were, Johnny and his wife had still put on their best clothes, and they'd still walk in the Easter parade. And they did this year after year, for Easter was their day. And so it was 13 years ago on Easter Sunday. As usual, they were walking side by side up Fifth Avenue, arm in arm with her hand in his hand, so that he could walk safely.
Seems like old times, doesn't it, Johnny? Now, Johnny, hold my hand tight. We're going to cross Fifth Avenue.
Okay.
There, now the light's changing. Here we go. Hold on.
I'm holding on. My, it's crowded, isn't it? Wait, I've lost your hand. Come back. Where are you? Where are you?
That happened on Easter Sunday 13 years ago. Johnny, due to his blindness, had lost his wife in the crowd and walked right into the path of an approaching taxi cab. The passenger in the taxi cab quickly got out, put Johnny into his cab, and ordered the driver to speed to the nearest hospital. There, in the hospital for several days, they didn't think that Johnny'd live. But slowly, Johnny did begin to get better. Until one day in his hospital room, they decided to remove the bandages from around his head. And then they made an amazing discovery. Johnny was no longer blind. Now he could see again. That taxi cab that had struck Johnny had hit his head and cleared an obstruction that was pressing against his brain, restoring his eyesight. And that's why next Sunday, when it's Easter once again, Johnny and his wife will once again be walking happily up Fifth Avenue in the Easter parade. But that's not the end of the story, no. You remember my saying that when Johnny was struck down by the taxi cab, the passenger was horrified at what his cab had done, and he'd immediately taken Johnny into his cab and driven him to the nearest hospital? Well, the passenger in that taxi cab was the famous songwriter, Irving Berlin. And when Irving Berlin heard how much Johnny and his wife loved Easter, how they first met on Easter, how they'd been married on Easter, he decided to write an Easter song just for them, and he did. And so, Irving Berlin wrote his Easter parade thanks to a prize fighter he met on Easter.
In the Easter parade.
Portrait of a Great Song. Reel 5, Charles F. McCarthy.
I'll lead off with a limerick. There was a young man called McQuirkus who appeared as a freak in a circus. While running a race, he could bobber his face, but to watch him surely did irk us. Seriously, though, men, you can speed through that morning shave with the greatest of ease. You bet you can when you use Colgate Brushless Shave Cream, the shave cream of champions. This rich, fluffy, active cream stays moist while your razor speeds through a no-snag, no-pull performance. And remember, Colgate Brushless Shave Cream washes off the razor in a flash. Then, too, Colgate Brushless is made specially for you men with wiry whiskers and naturally dry, sensitive skin. Most druggists now have the big 9-ounce economy jar. It's a real money saver. So ask for a jumbo jar of Colgate Brushless Shave Cream tonight. And now, back to Bill Stern.
Reel 6, Colgate Candid Camera catches the story behind the story, exclusive, Washington, D.C. If this war with Germany should end suddenly, Washington officials tonight are considering a proposal to send two big league baseball teams overseas. They'll be used to play a game for the American soldiers in Berlin, Hollywood, California. As an added attraction in the next war loan drive, a special basketball game will be staged in the principal cities of the United States, with the following girls taking part in each basketball game. They are Betty Grable, Lana Turner, Rita Hayworth, Veronica Lake, Susan Hayward, and Linda Darnell. And that's the 3-0 mark for tonight. Next Friday night, we'll be back, same time, same stations, with another edition of the Colgate Sports Newsreel. Our guest next Friday evening will be the famous comedian, Mr. Milton Berle. So be sure and be with us next Friday night at our usual time when we present as our guest the famous star of stage, screen, and radio, Mr. Milton Berle. See you then. And until then, I'll be seeing you on the screen in the News of the Day newsreel at your favorite Lowe's or Associated Theaters. Now, until this very same time next Friday night, this is Bill Stern wishing you all a good, good night.
Bill Stern, the Colgate-shaped cream man, is on his way. Bill Stern, the Colgate-shaped cream man, had lots to say. He told you tales of sports heroes, the inside dope he really knows. So listen in next Friday night. C-O-L-G-A-T-E.
Wait a minute, ladies and gentlemen. Just a minute, please. Don't touch that dial. Paper goes to war. Into actual weapons of war, such as incendiary bombs, wingtips, airplane signals, and other war needs. But there is less and less coming from the paper mills. So let's beat this paper shortage. Beat it by turning in more waste paper. Let's salvage every scrap. Remember this. Paper packs a punch. Good night.
Miss Lena Horne appeared on this program courtesy of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer Pictures. A new Columbia sport short entitled The Iron Master, starring Byron Nelson, Jug McSpadden, and Bill Stern, is now playing the nation's theaters.
This is the National Broadcasting Company.